One milestone from the 2014 elections was more than 100 seats now occupied by women for the first time in history, with 84 in the House and 20 in the Senate. And this is a fully Republican Congress. It was newly elected Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, you'll recall, who gave the high-profile response to the president's State of the Union address last month.
You don't need to come from wealth or privilege to make a difference. You just need the freedom to dream big and a whole lot of hard work.
But if you think Senator Ernst telling that memorable story takes her place as a powerful committee chair or a member of the GOP leadership, you would be wrong. Cheryl Gay Stolberg is Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Cheryl, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello.
So finding women in the leadership of the GOP in this Congress is difficult.
It is difficult. Actually, there, in the House, five of the elected 10 Republican Party leaders are women. But there's only one female committee chair in the House and only two in the Senate. And it's the committees where, as you know, Congress does its real work, the work of writing laws.
Is that purely a function of seniority, or is it something to do with the style of the GOP?
No, it is really a function of seniority. It's seniority in both parties. The Senate is an institution that relies on seniority. Longevity matters. And when you've been around a long time, you can rise to the position of a powerful committee chair. Democratic women tend to have been elected earlier and in larger numbers than Republican women. And so when Democrats ran the Senate, women rose up, and there were 9 women chairing committees under the Democratic-controlled Senate. As I said, that's down to 2 now.
Among them, Barbara Mikulski, who was a veteran senator from the state of Maryland, a former chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee. How does her tenure in appropriations going to compare, do you think, with Thad Cochran of Mississippi?
Well, you know, it used to be said of Barbara Mikulski that the Appropriations Committee members respected their previous male chairman, but they feared Barbara Mikulski. Barbara Mikulski is a very tough Maryland Democrat. She was on that committee for a long time, and she, you know, she wielded power in a very sharp and tough way. I think it's too soon to tell how her tenure will compare with the much more genteel and soft-spoken Thad Cochran from Mississippi. But for women, seeing Barbara Mikulski lose that appropriations chair was very difficult for Democratic women.
And let's just remind ourselves of the intensity of Barbara Mikulski. Here she is speaking.
Now, I'll tell you what I'm tired of hearing, that somehow or another we're too emotional when we talk. You know, when we raise an issue, we're too emotional. Well, I am emotional. I am so emotional about this. I am telling you, if we don't pass this bill, I'm so emotional, I'm going to press on.
I gather we can expect some of that same passion from Republican Lisa Murkowski, the new chair of the Senate Energy Committee.
As the ranking member on the Energy Committee, I'm always looking for good energy policy. This delay from the Obama administration of the Keystone XL pipeline is not good energy policy. This is bad energy policy. This is politics.
We've already seen Murkowski take on the White House over federal lands in the Arctic.
Well, yes, and that clip that you played was from when Senator Murkowski was, as she said in it, the ranking member. Now she's the chairwoman. She's already gotten the Keystone Pipeline bill to pass the Senate. She's really probably the most powerful female committee chair in the Senate. Of course, there are only two. The other is Susan Collins of Maine, who had been in the past Homeland Security chair during George W. Bush's presidency. Susan Collins told me an interesting story about that time when Donald Rumsfeld, the defense secretary, came to testify before her committee. She said she looked to the left and she looked to the right and she realized there were no women on the dais. And then she looked down at the witness table where there was Rumsfeld and about 4 other witnesses, and none of them were women. And all of a sudden she thought to herself, hey, but I'm in charge here.
What can we expect from Collins in her new assignment?
We'll see her as a force on the committee chair, but more importantly of Senator Collins, she's been somebody who exemplifies a trait that people say women in the Senate generally exemplify, and that is bipartisanship.
Cheryl Gay Stolberg, Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.